Learn podcast, hosted by Yulia and Ina, friends, colleagues, passionate teachers and learners. In this series of cozy talks with a cup of tea or coffee, we talk about how we live and learn, move countries, adapt to change and mentalities, encourage and teach. While polishing our own understanding of learnability, we find support in the four pillars of Live and Learn philosophy, which include growth mindset, expert life, language acquisition, and skills development. Join us. Enjoy, live and learn.
Hello and hi. Happy to see you smiling and relaxed, and it looks like you've done something extraordinary and you can relax now. What is it? Well, I know, because I read your Facebook page, and I invite everyone to do so as well, because the posts are informative and worth being read. And so what I read gives me this impression as well, that you've done something so immense, so enormous, that now you can finally relax. What is it? Please share it with us.
I would refer all the people to the LinkedIn page, but this is where I keep my professional record track. So yeah, that was a big thing for me, because finished teaching employability for a soft skills course, which we were having for two semesters in a row. So there are two modules in this course that I was teaching. So the first was the employability and business communication. The second is employability and soft skills. We had the examination, which was a project presentation by groups in the distributed virtual teams, with the project management, with the research, with the survey, and that was an amazing day for me.
What about the students who were taking the exam? Was it as amazing for them? How do you feel?
So we built the exam in this way that students had an opportunity to present their work together. Then they moderated Q&A session by themselves. And then we had 15 minutes to debrief their experience, to debrief how well did they go, to debrief how much did they contribute to the project, because I had to give them personal marks, and therefore I had to hear everybody's impression, everybody's contribution, and so on. So I had 7 presentations in one day, 7 groups, and therefore I participated in 7 presentations, but also we had 7 debriefs. So I do know the reaction of each and every student who actually came to the exam and who passed the exam. I cannot tell you how fantastic it is to plan the debrief session with every and each student taking an exam. This is a part of the feedback system, and maybe even of coaching, because you give immediate feedback and you receive immediate feedback in that, which is, like, you know, this deliberate learning. So they were deliberately practicing, and then they received the immediate feedback. So you see, you have here so many different methodologies joined together, and I can just give you a more structured overview of what happened, because now I'm just overwhelmed with the emotions.
So maybe we can read somewhere about how it went. It would be great also not only to hear, it's always fantastic to hear the reactions, the first emotions and so on, on the side of a teacher and on the side of participants, of students who take an exam. You remember we spoke about taking exams. Every time we discuss how something went, like an exam, a certification, a job interview, it's always cool to hear the first emotional reaction of a person who had this experience in the first place. But then it's also interesting to study the methodology behind it, how the teacher, for example, or the examiner corps makes the exam, what they want to assess, how they provide for exactly these things to be assessed and to be shown by the participants, by the examinees. How was it in your exam?
The exam is on the skills, right? So you have employability, semicolon, soft skills. There is a lot of debate in the scientific world that soft skills are hard to measure skills. And here we refer to two of our previous episodes on measuring soft skills. And the framework and the article that I had published earlier in the year where I suggest how to measure these skills against the levels. So basically, I had a task to measure soft skills and employability while having a presentation. So like, how can you present something like slides? Yeah, and measure skills. So that was quite a task. I'm really happy that Christina Mutsu, who authored the article with me on teaching this module, and she is the author of the course and my colleague, my dear colleague, and we've been in very close collaboration together to make this course happen, to make this course be an outstanding effort, specifically within the emergency online teaching, specifically for students, of course, because like we've been teaching for quite a number of years online. So basically what we decided to do is to measure their collaboration. In most cases, these people have never seen each other. So digital collaboration, as the students are from different time zones, countries, distributed teams, digital collaboration, in order to measure their media literacy, critical thinking, scientific method. So we created the task for them to research, and in order to measure their effectiveness, self-management, team management, product management, they had a project to formulate. So basically, every team first created a team. So the first task was to get to know each other, to get people on your team, to build trust, to learn who they are, to have a couple of meetings. We specifically had there the cultural competencies, so they were trying to discuss their identities, their personalities, and actually create a working stable team which is ready to do any project they may come up with. So we started back in April, I think, to create the team so that people are getting to know each other, right? So that was like extra asynchronous, extracurricular meetings for them, but their task was to create a team. So they were learning at the time the team members, what kind of team roles do you have in a team and so on, and they were trying to learn what kind of the strengths, weaknesses do they have, can they offer to the project, not even knowing the topic. So they were trying to create a team for the sake of being effective together and knowing what to expect one from another. So then a couple of weeks later, they had to choose to brainstorm which topic would they want to do. And basically they did the prioritization tasks. So they brainstormed all the topics they want to do within the soft skills. So they had to choose one soft skills to focus on. And so they somehow prioritized, discussed, debated pros and cons, which they want to go deeper because they are good at them, at this skill, or maybe because they want to learn more within this specific skill to do the research, practice, and so on, so on. Then we had our course going on and topics coming in and going by, but their task was to obviously search the the white papers from Deloitte, McKinsey, LinkedIn Learning, Burson Academy, everybody who keep on saying, discussing how skills and competencies are important for the future of work, for the future job, for the job market 4.0 and so on, that now with this paradigm shift, it is absolutely inconceivable what their job will be in 4 years when they graduate, that they understand that the skills would be the foundation rather, like, and then they could choose any specialization they might ever want to. So they did this research. Some of them went deeper and studied academic sources, of course, and then they had to understand what their skill that they chose is and isn't, so to find the official definitions, categories, what they constitute, and so on, so on, so on. And then to find ways how to measure adaptability, time management, conflict management, creativity, critical thinking, whatever they chose. And basically, in order to do that, they came up with a list of different psychological tests, maybe career preparedness tests, or interview questions, job interview questions, right? So that they can understand what is the scope of the questions that might constitute the answer, how good are you at this skill. So they created a survey to ask their first year students, well, basically their task was to understand how well prepared or well mastered or like well polished their skill is and how well it influenced their employability level. So they created their own questions, they sent the polls, they received different number of answers depending on how many people wanted to collaborate. And then when I ask, like, so how's your meeting going up, what's your stand-up results, and so on, how many people answer, and so on, they started saying, oh, not a lot of people are answering. Okay, how many have you answered? Well, you guys in the same boat, you need to, if you want to collaborate, if you want other people to do this, just write a message, I'm happy to give you my answers, here is my questions, right? So they try to find ways to persuade, to create this flow of the surveys. When they got their results, they went to analyze them, tried to compare with the, again, with all those white papers. What do they answer? What is expected? And what their level or what is their attitude or preparedness is? Some had very insightful results. And they basically had to create a persona. So this is a marketing formulation of a person who is the representative of the target audience or the impersonated fictional character used for the storytelling when they want to present it, so that students in the audience who will be listening their final presentation could associate themselves and therefore would be interested to hear how this persona measures, is assessed, is doing, is perceiving, is imagining things. So this is the situation, this is the persona, this is what he knows or she knows, practices, what their skills, knowledge, and attitudes toward the skill, and how this increases or impacts the chances for the employability of the dream job, right? We're not talking just any job. They have quite a good ambitions because they are the business management students. So they created the recommendations for this persona. What is the their current situation? How far he or she can go within a year, within half a year, within, like, before the job interview? Right, so different timeline of the recommendations. So, and then they created a range of recommendations how to increase time management, adaptability, creativity, and so on, so on, so on. So they created the curated lists of podcasts, video lectures, TED Talks, books, articles that they recommend getting to know, learning, but also what they can do, like going to sports, volunteering, becoming a part of a team and so on. And they had to present it within a storytelling technique. When you have all of this stuff researched, when they already got their narrative or how to say, you know, this script, then they asked for the feedback. We're learning the storytelling techniques, you know, storyboarding at that moment. And they tried then to rearrange how this may seem as a story of the hero fighting their dragons, you know, fighting their obstacles, coming to a peak, and, you know, and then resolving this conflict. So basically, that's how we we managed to assess such a huge number of skills, taking into account that they were working in Kanban framework, so they were trying to understand who is doing what is done, what is undergoing, what is ongoing process, and so on. So they learned to create a team, to work in a team, to create so many things around the topic and present it and prepare to present and finally present and then to debrief it.
Sounds beautiful. What I hear in your piece of storytelling is that there was learning and meta-learning going hand in hand, actually one unimaginable without the other, as well as assessing the skills.
They were from 3 to 4 maximum people in a team, and they were researching one skill per team. They did research on a methodology statistics, and then they created a survey on assessing their whole first year status. So like 30, 40, 50 people who turned in the surveys that they were able to analyze then.
Yeah, the methodological question would be then if they were studying the scale or the students.
Their preparedness for employability in the aspect of one skill.
You mentioned that pretty clearly. What I'd like to understand better is whether within that methodology that was already there, that they were studying in papers, yeah, was already this skill that a given team was studying.
Those white papers that they were referring to, they were saying just like the World Economic Forum competencies, and they say, so these are competencies most needed by 2025, by 2030, or McKinsey says 56 foundational skills. There are skills, for example, in time management, there is punctuality, there is like working with the digital applications, knowing that techniques, knowing, I don't know, tomato technique or 15 minutes and so on.
As students doing their research work, studying the materials, doing a survey with first-year students, they were gathering quite a lot of information and learning how to assess and then to do that project based on what they assessed and researched. As teachers assessing their skills in this exam, what methodology did you use, and how similar or how aligned could that be with the methodology of the research that students were using getting ready for the exam?
Our main aim was to make sure that our students are prepared to project work in distributed teams within the deadlines, taking the lead, delegating the tasks, and are able to go through a number of the sources critically and to deliver a project within the deadline and the scope of the given task. So basically we were measuring how this project can be a simulation of the real work environment.
Mm-hmm. According to which levels did you apply your approach to assessing skills, evaluating skills, measuring skills across the levels?
Yeah, so as we are talking about the university level students, so they already have their awareness, they already started their acquisition, and they spend the whole year being focused on the a portfolio of skills and what they constitute and how to improve and so on and so on. So the first two levels were far complete, you know, already complete. And then the application and level that we were saying was already there, right? So they were applying several skills, methodologies, tricks, and so on. And the evaluation, which is already the next level skill, so they already showed that they can evaluate the survey and see how the students are prepared to the, you know, employability to their dream job. So basically they, and creation, right, the top level, so they already were creating their survey by themselves, their Kahoot for engaging with the audience during the presentation, so they were creating their Kanban boards, they were creating their analytics from the research and the presentation itself. So basically all the levels were there.
Can you say that by default, if students have done this course and have arrived at the moment of taking their exam on this course, they by default are already there, the creativity level?
You would never say that because you don't know how much students have invested their time, effort into this project.
Like they're capable of showing this level, but it's not said that they necessarily will have done that by the time of the exam and they need to prove.
I imagine that those people who would come and say, I'm unprepared, they wouldn't be assessed as the exam, as obviously this project, this team would not be functional. Those who came by the timeline, by the deadline, with the product to present, with the teamwork to present, and to debrief how much time, effort did everybody put, how much impact did their work had on the teamwork, how did they collaborate and so on. So this was the biggest, you know, debrief feedback part to assess, right? So that I could see every person's engagement and every person's contribution and valuing the teamwork and how do they feel about it, right? So what's the inner team dynamics and team final feeling? Because when they are cheering and when they are saying like, yes, everything went as we wanted, we presented, we engaged the audience, we learned, we worked through, we had some kind of mismatches and so on, and we actually made it. Well, what else would you want as a teacher of employability for soft skills?
That is a good question. What else would you want as a teacher of employability skills?
I would want to repeat the course to see how it goes the second, the third time. I think I would want to use different digital tools because I'm always in search, and Christina, who is my partner on this course, she's so into finding new and new digital collaboration tools, and she's just like a huge expert in that. I would also think that the next level of the complexity is hybrid teams, when if and when our universities go on campus, what would be the actual efficiency of some people working in the class and some people working from India, from Korea, from China, from Indonesia, from America, from France, from Italy, and from, I don't know, Bulgaria, for example. Would that be possible? Would that be as efficient? Would they make their teams as efficiently? Because basically this is what we're having in the real work environment at the moment, and teams working as they are.
Yeah, and that would be a reflection of the real world of office work, of corporate world. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That would be really curious to see.
Yes, and I think I would be probably asking for more specific skills. So within creativity, which specific skill within time management, which specific skill, within EQ, which specific skill, so that they would go even deeper into one or two, I don't know, like more into more detailed thing.
For a longer podcast episode, I would have 100 more questions. So I think we can get back to the topic of different skills and analyze probably more in detail which more specific skills do you mean, or what would an ideal candidate in the world of work and employability need to show now, this year, next year, in 5 years, in the indefinite future. Just trying to be creative also analyzing this sort of stuff and trying ourselves also in this world of insecurity of the world of work, insecurity of the world and of life in general. Still, what we could be anchoring in is always a published word. So could you recommend a good read on which we could base our knowledge in case we want to get to know more about the world of skills for employability?
Okay, so just got the article on teaching employability soft skills course with Christina Mutsu is already published and is already finding its way to the readers. So just go to my research gate or to click here below, subscribe, like, comment, you know, all those funky words. There is our critical overview. How did we teach this course against the DigCompDo framework? And it has quite an extensive literature review on the skills. If you want more literature and references on the skills, you could go to my previous article on skills development framework. And there is everything that was published, I think, and relevant to the topic. I tried to summarize in the literature review and all the links are there. White papers from the publishing house and from research centers and from corporate world is there, research. I think we can actually maybe do a curated list of the podcasts of our own, which refer the skills as well and post here as well.
Yeah, we will definitely do this. And thank you for this really valuable word, a new word in the world of skills assessment, measuring skills, skills for employability. It is something that does not seem obvious to many, but will definitely be valuable. It's like when you don't know what to look for, you will never find. As soon as you ask a question and you start searching for relevant sources, you start finding something that might be of use, and then you go deeper, and then finally you find something that is really precious and that you can use for building your career, for doing your first steps, or not even first steps to follow your career path. There is a way to go, and thank you again for giving this, like for opening the world of the published word as well as audio curated content dedicated to the topic, because it's really not so obvious that there is this area of interest of many.
Okay, I can also then, if you allow me, suggest here my guest appearance in a podcast where I was specifically describing the way we teach this semester employability soft skills. I think somewhere around 45 minutes is there, so like huge, huge podcast there. And also the conference that we had in April by Gile, the conference on skills development and the journal of skills development is out there. You're welcome to join our journal as an author, as a editor, editorial assistant, as a social media assistant. We're always getting our team bigger and stronger, and we have published the proceedings of the conference, so you can read the proceedings of those presentations. in October, we're going to have another conference. So just stay tuned and, you know, get all the information fresh and crispy.
And so live and learn.
And live and learn.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you share Live and Learn philosophy, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on all the major social media, comment, and spread the word about this podcast so that more people could get their weekly portion of growth mindset content. Live and learn!